the meeting to order. We'll start by approving the minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Any discussion on the minutes? Amendments? Objection?
I'm good. How are you looking at it?
Well, you weren't here last time, so.
I'm hearing. All
right. Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
How long the meeting was.
That was the time before.
Oh, yeah. All right. We'll get into resolutions. We'll start with resolution 112, reestablishing Wells County Trails Advisory Committee.
Is it the chairman's responsibility to appoint the members?
Yes.
Is that right?
No.
I just kind of took, didn't know about it. That's what I wanted to know. Well, about appointing members. No.
You picked that?
No, okay. Sure. Well, we'll see what, we'll let the cream rise to the top first.
All right. Any discussion? No. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We will move to 128, urging the governor and New York State legislators to gradually restore the 50-50 state county cost sharing for the safety net program. Open discussion.
I want it.
Second.
Chris?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I got it.
This resolution came out of the Health and Human Services Committee at the NYSAC conference that I sat in, and I thought it was a very interesting resolution. And I believe they sent a copy of the resolutions to all the counties. Now, I don't know if they sent them to the county executives, or did they send a copy here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it'd be nice if we didn't have to phase it in. We could just do a 50-50 split right now, but that's what they're advocating for, so that's why I brought this forward. Ken Cornell has mentioned to me, and I guess I'll make this, it's a memorializing resolution, so I can't just amend it now before it gets to the floor. I don't have to amend it before. Actually, it's the 8th whereas. It's actually second from the bottom. Whereas for the first half, 15 state data indicates that the county safety net costs have increased by nearly 9% over the prior year, and I don't know how to word this, Ulster County has budgeted an additional $11.2 million in the 2016 year.
Is that our total spending projected
for 2016? Just to add some more glitz and
our increase is a more than 100%.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's more clean.
Could you tell me what you want on there as a
okay.
Thank
here,
you.
Let's
sorry,
take this one. Okay. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Other than that, it's pretty, self-explanatory. And I don't know why in 2011 they made us pay 79% of the cost.
It's simple math.
71%.
And they also did that. They made it so that HANA, the federal program that serves women and children, families. Then you can use the as well too. So what they did is they worked with the federal dollars that were available. So that program is 100% reimbursed. And they made this program, instead of being 50-50.
Yeah, we do 100% of that. Yeah.
Federal reimbursed. But as you know, with federal self-sufficient welfare reform back in 1995, they put a 5-year lifetime limit on TANF benefits for families. And just so happens that come 2012 plus, we have a lot of families that are aging out of the federal welfare program. And under state law, they automatically become eligible for safety net.
Right.
So it was a way for the state to shift quite a case load onto the CLA program when we pay the lion's share.
Yeah. That would be more equitable for the counties, that's for sure, for Ulster County. I mean, anyway, that's it.
And that should happen without any input. They just put that to the budget, right?
Yeah. At the time, when you did the math year to year, it appeared that, it would have been, everyone would have been held harmless. It wouldn't have been a large caucus, but... And it was thoughtful on their end, and they knew that over time, more and more families would age out of the federal program, and a lot of our members would come out for this program.
So I totally support the concept of this resolution. The tax base that I represent in Woodstock, I've seen with the county takeover and safety net, what Woodstock is staying in has gone up substantially. So I totally support the concept of the state, paying in their fair share, absolutely. My one question was going down to 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth whereas, specifically, is one of only 11 states that provide benefits to childless adults that do not have some disability. That section, it seems like that this part goes into a different debate a little bit, into the actual policy of safety net rather than the, fiscal realities and paying the fair share.
Well, safety net covers childless adults and single individuals that don't qualify for temporary federal assistance. So I think that would actually...
Not most states don't offer that kind of additional service once the federal benefits are there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that data, 11 states, that's correct?
I guess I would think so.
I'm not sure we're going to pass in a resolution that it's...
No, that's all correct data.
This is association.
That's right.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
This is exactly the way it was written. Although I couldn't get the resolution because I'm not on the committee, and it wasn't posted on their website, so I typed it all out and sent it to Vicki. Mm-hmm. So if there's any typos.
The other point in the resolution makes, I think it's important for the committee to understand, that it talks about the shelter option. And for people that aren't taking that, we also provide not only, one of their major benefits is the reimbursement for monthly rent. And we have a lot of families. Last year we served 170 families. Almost 500 individuals provide temporary housing. We do operate a couple of homeless shelters. We have a little stock. We have the dump bed, which is for single adults, and then the family and for families. But we have a lot of families and individuals that live in hotels. Okay? It's much more expensive to house someone in a hotel. $100 a day, depending on what the situation is. But if you think about it, shelter allowance is about $453 per month. The credit department does a study every year on what the available apartments are and the rent that they have available in the county. For a single studio type apartment in Houston, it's $700. So the basic shelter allowance provided to the state for services
Now, does that include, I don't want to get too much deep into this, but does that include, landlords who rent to Section 8? Does the county pay for that half of that? Is it directly or is it the state? And then you have to reimburse
the state? With this particular program, we pay the landlords directly.
Okay.
Did you want to make that change?
No, I think it's important to put it in there because it's a poignant
clarification on that.
There are states, there's a reason why, our services budget is big, because when you go to a state that after your federal benefits run out, you've got a choice. You can come to New York State, and especially if you're in a neighboring state that doesn't provide the safety net to adults, without children. I just think it just kind of reads to the populace that we're paying for, if you don't know that we're not just paying for families and children, but we're paying for adults. That's good.
Some of them are able-bodied. And there is an argument to be made that people who exhaust their federal benefits on their state will seek out, let's move up where my family is in New York, because I can continue that.
Sure.
We do see that from time to time.
There's a sign in the Port Authority that says come to Ulster County.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a tourism sign. Oh, hey. I was on the train.
So, do you want to change the
I put it down. I wrote it down for her, and the county of Ulster. What did I write down? Increase.
Ulster County, 11.2 million.
Yeah, 11.2 million budget. 11.2 million for 2016.
Budget in 2016.
So
that's the last. That's one before the last for us. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we can make that change without voting on the amendment.
The resolution should, but the whereas paragraph should be read off and
right,
required
right,
to do it properly.
Right, and then discussion on it.
Okay, so over the prior year and in 2016, Ulster County budgeted $1.2
million.
$11.2 million.
All right, so the amendment as read, discussion on it? And on the amendment?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And on the resolution?
Aye.
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 Everyone?
Thank you, Mark.
All right, let's move on.
We'll see you hearing, and it would be fair to have both sides at the public hearing. If we could ask, I don't know, we have a local chemical organization or something in Ulster County that could speak on their behalf, and then
Or
a representative, you know, just to hear both sides of the story. That way the public would be informed, you know, on both sides.
So I think understand we're just doing a public hearing.
Yeah, I do want, okay, so can I speak to something?
Sure.
I talked to Mary about some things and a couple things I wanted to highlight. We put in, we basically, I don't know if you're just talking about standing in a public hearing, but I was going to have a whole conversation with the committee. In terms of the enforcement, which there's a couple things in the section I want to talk about, but section D enforcement, we put the date at June 1st, 2017. That's assuming a May adoption, so it's a year out, because we wanted to allow for enough time for the health department to promulgate rules and also the education component to set in, so I just wanted to bring that up for discussion. And then the other thing that can kind of over the speech a little is I want to talk about the requirement again in C that we did a random inspection. It here says if we use the Suffolk model of at least 10 retailers per quarter. I think that I would like to, in advance of putting it through a public hearing, so ideally I'd like to do it in this committee, to back off of that aggressive of a requirement, because we're a much smaller county than Suffolk in terms of population, and I don't want to burden the health department with too much of an enforcement component to begin with, and notwithstanding the fact that we don't have the full XRF that you saw Bobby demonstrate today. So I think in order to be kind of a couple things, in order to be even, I'd like to just propose, and I talked to Mary about this, just doing it annually, so one time a year instead of quarterly, 10, because if we had to rent a machine, it would be just one rental, or if we had to borrow a machine, it would be one time, so it wouldn't be, you know, every quarter having to go out and get a machine. Because how much do they cost? Mm-hmm.
The most recent model that I referenced earlier, the high definition one, cost about $50,000 for purchase.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So,
it was my rental was much less.
You can go to
and I knew we had an XRF machine, but I thought it was the full XRF, not an XRF that only tested lead. So, given that, both Mary and I would be comfortable, if the committee would be comfortable, to backing it off to an annual enforcement. And I'd also like to say, I'd like to see it come out of this committee to set the public hearing for the reasons Carl's bringing up, so that we can kind of hear both sides. We'll get to hear more from parents. I expect we'll hear from the industry. But also, in the interim between this meeting and Laws and Rules, on which she'll be fit correctly, I'd like to, Ken offered to set up a meeting with the health department. So Mary and I are looking forward to meeting with the health department, with Clean and Healthy New York, and we would bring any amendments to that enforcement recommended by the health department to Laws and Rules in advance of voting on it this month.
The actual laws that we vote on? It's a big factual change, so you would have a question here. Isn't this resolution for the public hearing only?
Yeah.
So do you think that the other issues specifically regarding the law should be addressed at the time that the law is going to come up?
Well, you want to bring forward a law that's ideally in its most final format, because if we make changes, if we set a public hearing on this law,
mm-hmm.
and then we have a public hearing on this law, and then I make those changes after, then we're going to have another public yeah. hearing just because I make those changes. So I'd like to make those changes in advance of having the public hearing,
okay.
which would be happening now prior to the public hearing.
Right. I guess, if you don't mind, yeah. I got some problems with the penalty thing, or maybe
okay.
you can help me.
Yeah.
And first, before we talk about that, is there any grants available? Maybe Ken would know that for the machine.
So again, we have a machine that's very specific toward our life prevention program.
I'm all for getting these cheap Chinese products that are being dumped here and you know, that could cause harm to our kids and stuff. But I also got the Department of Health would be writing the violations.
Yeah.
And the Commissioner of the Department of Health would also be the judge on it, the one who gives out the fines?
Well, technically, I said the yes a little too soon. The Department of Health is going to promulgate the rules. So the Department of Health or their whoever else would write the rules would be.
We don't even know what the rules are.
No, I mean that's the case. That's the case in the way that the law has been adopted all across the state. I mean, what would you suggest as an alternative? That's what we've done in most things where we have adopted regular.
Well, I don't have a problem with the Department of Health right in the violation.
Mm-hmm. It's rarely in there.
It's in there, but to have the commissioner or somebody that he appoints be the one that, you know, finds guilt and then hands out the penalty, it's almost like judge, jury, and executioner. You know, maybe we could find that, you know.
You want us to write in the rules? So you're suggesting that we actually write the rules rather than the Department of Health write the rules? Which I'm not saying is necessary.
I don't know about the rules. You know, the rules have come beforehand. I'm talking about afterwards. If you give, like, Toys R Us the penalty phase,
mm-hmm.
you know, you write him a ticket.
Right.
You know, he comes and stands, the Health Department of Health is going to be writing it. Then he's going to come in front of the commissioner and state his case. And then the commissioner is going to overrule one of his employees.
Normally, you would issue a violation. Again, last year we spent, you know, 7 months working on a tobacco law that the legislature chose to be very specific on what was allowed in that law and the rules and when permits could be issued, incident, and it varies. This is the first time we've seen this, was today. I know that, it's clear to us that we don't have the equipment. We've not trained them this equipment that we're demonstrating here tonight. I'm interested in just about looking at what kind of staff time we're talking about, develop some kind of a budget idea of what we have to spend to implement it. That would take some time, and the first time we saw this today.
Right. So
I don't know,
months,
and we're trying to get a meeting, but I don't know
if
that'll come from that. So
you said that the rules haven't really been made yet.
No, this law leaves the rules in the Department of Health. The rules are going to be drawn by the Commissioner.
It's going to be approved by the Board of Health. Right. Now, how long until that would be?
From the point, the rules would be adopted in that 1 year interim from adoption until enforcement.
So we could essentially be voting on and creating a law here in Ulster County that we don't know what the rules are going to be.
If it's the legislature's desire to lay out all the rules of what we like the tobacco law, we can do that.
I think that would be important. I would feel uncomfortable voting on or implementing a law that we don't know what the rules could potentially be unless. And I think it would be even, it would be a smart way to do it and even customize it towards Ulster County if we kind of, put the rules together. So much like we did with the tobacco law, like that, I'd be more comfortable because at least we have a say in it here in the county and not waiting for when and if these rules are, and not knowing what type of effect.
If it gives this committee comfort, then Mary and I will take a month, come back the next month, ideally with rules drafted, with working in collaboration with the health department, and we'll come back to it. We'll hold this up for a month while we
appreciate that.
I think we can do it. I mean, I'm really committed to it. I'm passionate about it. I've stayed up nights, and like I said, I was shocked to show up today and see. I'm going to bring you pictures. My daughter's nightgown was here. I didn't know that. So I want to make this happen, and I want to make this committee comfortable. I respect your opinion, and I think we can do that. Ken's committed to having a meeting. I know Mary is totally passionate about this and a strong partner. So I know that she and I will put our minds to it and come back in a month.
Sure, because I think that we're all would like to see something done on our keeper. Get healthy, but I think it really is important to go about it the right way.
I would like to ask, though, if as I have these meetings with Mary and the health department in advance of next month's meeting, can I, through NETI, keep communication open with you all so we get feedback so we come next month with something that as you've seen, I've heard your concerns, I'm able to address them before. I'd like to be able to do that.
Actually, have you had how much communication have you had with Commissioner Smith about this?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a list? You guys have a list of all the retailers that sell these products?
Toxic products?
Well, I mean, the products that would be under the...
Any retail, every store that sells?
So in terms of, actually enforcing it, we did it once a year, and it says to test 10 products.
No, 10 retailers.
Oh, so you're just going to do, and retailers for the entire county.
That's the minimum. And I'll tell you what, that is a section that both Mary and I really feel strongly about. Some counties don't even have that. That's something that came out of Suffolk. But I feel like that, to use a term someone else used, is almost where the rubber meets the road. That's the section that guarantees there is going to be testing, at the least, from within
it. Could be
so I feel really strongly about that. I don't want to burden the health department, though, by saying you have to go out every quarter and coming up with a number. I want to work with Dr. Smith and this health department to find a number that makes sense, especially given that we may have to rent the machine. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important, unlike Albany, that we put in that requirement. That there is testing. If it's not a requirement, then what it's going to mean is organizations like Clean and Healthy are going to be coming down and testing and then advising and... at least we know that internally we're keeping, and I think that a law that contains that also is sending a message to not just the retailers, but more importantly, the vendors, the industry, to see how this is. I mean, it's really telling that Suffolk County was the first county to ban BPA, and now you can't even buy a baby bottle with it.
So it
causes a seismic change, knowing that.
Is there any kind of formula with this, like with testing, like how many hours it'll take you to get through a certain size of store, so many products per hour, like it, you know?
Yeah, we could definitely.
I'm just wondering for the applicability of actually enforcing this, and then so you could calculate like what kind of resources this is going to be on the Department of Health.
You saw a testing, if I could jump in and Bobby can speak specifically, you saw her test two aspects of Carl's watch. It takes less than a minute.
Okay. So if you sent somebody in to do 8 hours of testing in a store a day, or had... And then how many retail stores?
Ten
stores, 10 items.
Yeah.
How
if you want more, I'm just trying. I mean,
But I mean, the important thing is the law is going to be in place first.
Correct.
Okay. But the problem I have is that there are different kind of retailers, and there's a big hole in this because there are in the summertime there are street vendors, there are flea markets, there are people on the parade routes that are selling toys and balloons. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how that's going to how we're going to stop things like that, because they probably don't buy those novelties locally.
No,
they probably
don't. I mean, if you're looking for something much more restrictive, retailers are retailers. So if you're selling something retail, whether you're selling it at a fair or you're in a store, you're a retailer.
Well, there's two aspects of the fault. Retailers are retailers. They have license to sell in Ulster County. But when you you apply for a peddler's license or something, I mean, that's usually on a local level, for local governments, towns or cities. But there might be some outreach to a requirement for a peddler's license that, you have your products tested or something. You might want to add something like that in here, because I think that... It's okay to go to Sears and Walmart and Target and everything and Target the big guys, but then, there's a lot of this stuff coming in that's not going to get tested and not going to get regulated.
And I think that's a reality that, to some degree, that means he's being new to this, that we've tested. I can imagine that I can't speak for Bobby about cleaning up. We know with every toy in every store, every product, just is not taking decisions. Unreasonable. But however, if you want to be, or this committee is asking me to be more restrictive in the legislation or more expansive, I'm certainly open to that, because I would love to have it covered. I mean, I would love to change the world with this. And I believe that it will in small part and as it expands larger. But I'm open to the
committee. How are those 10 retailers chosen?
Chosen by the commissioner.
So, with Section 4 under toxic content restrictions, and it discusses on page 3, so in the subsections A, B, C, and D, it uses the language knowingly distribute.
Yeah.
It talks into parameters of parts per million of different, benzene, these other, mercury, arsenic, cobalt, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, in composite, is there obviously going to be a plan to compile a list of these products that are not safe and to catalog that list somehow, like on the internet, and through, put it down on paper so that the list can be distributed to retailers and make it, so that it's distributed to the retailers, to the store managers, so that they then don't know that if they distribute these items, because it seems like the purpose of this law would be to develop a
base
of, products that don't pass.
I think it's probably, and Bobby can probably talk to this as well, but just even what you heard tonight, it's probably difficult in, you heard her testimony that in one batch of a product,
But you still list the product, you say certain components.
No, I'm saying in one batch of the same product, one time it could be toxic, the next time it's not. here's where the knowingly, and Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, that my understanding of the knowingly is what this does is pushes the retailer to ask the vendor for verification that when you send me this product,
right,
tell me that it doesn't have more than 50 parts per million.
They probably aren't going to know that, though. I mean, they don't do the testing in these countries for that stuff. So they're just, if you've got like a vendor that's, you know, essentially like a middleman in the business, that's how they make their money. And
we're talking about a lot. I mean, you saw the products out there. As Ken pointed out, Disney licensed products coming from Target.
But
ultimately, they're all coming from the same place.
Absolutely.
So they're not doing those testing. They're not doing that kind of testing.
But there are, I mean, if you look at what, for example, Toys R Us requires of its vendors, they do, in fact, require them to include like a bill of lading that they explains
so,
to us in the product.
The point I'm trying to make
is that they have user communication.
And if that's the case, then how are these products still getting through?
Right.
They're
so,
not
I mean,
currently listing the chemicals, but they could be asked to include that on the bill of lading. There's a chain of communication that happens that could be used to do that. So far, counties haven't required that, but it's something you could require.
That process be addressed with the company and then whoever the manufacturer is prior to, you know, creating a local law that would essentially do that for them?
They won't without being prompted. That's the problem.
I would think the goal of this, to me, it would seem like compile this, you know, even if there's variances in individual products, then if it, you know, if you take 10 of the same toy product and it fails 8 times and passes twice, you know, I would put that on the products list that's banned where it can't be sold most of the county. Because otherwise, like, when you pass this, what's going to be there to build upon what you're trying to achieve? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have this out here, you're just doing spot checks, certain products, certain retailers, you're never going to really attain the goal that you're looking to attain. But if you start compiling a list, okay, this product failed, have that list out there, you distribute it to the local retailers. I understand it's more cost, more time consuming, more burden on Ulster County resources, but to actually make this an effective law, I think that's what really needs to be done, because then it's just building upon something.
But I think that you heard from Bobby too that in her time testing that she's seen a shift, and I heard that from all the people at Clean and Healthy, that they have seen a shift from. And I'm thankful for it. I mean, now we see a bracelet that has 4,700 parts per million
right.
lead, but 10 years ago, they were saying
right.
90% lead, basically a lead, a chunk
no,
of lead. So there is, change does come about through this. I'm not sure, and we could talk about it, but I'm not sure how we create a product ban list, especially if potentially the product comes up clean. It's about the product.
I don't know your processes, but Vermont is now requiring manufacturers to report about a set of chemicals, including these chemicals of concern,
mm-hmm.
down to the SKU level, to down to the individual product level. And so they don't have bans in place, but the information will become available, and it's going to be coming available starting in the spring. The regulations have gone through with it. They're just working through their database for collection. There is actually a means for getting the information that you're talking about to refer companies to, that they can know what manufacturers are reporting and be able to have that access to that information. So it actually should make this whole process a lot easier. So there is a mechanism that we can talk about that as we're thinking, you know.
I just want to see this be as effective as possible if we're going to pass it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because I could see, proving that a retailer knowingly distributed, so it's not like necessarily this law is about punitively punishing, you know, retailers, because in reality, it's still managers, they probably don't know these things, you know, and it just seems to me that compiling a list of the products that don't pass is the only way to really, you know, give some agency and control to the managers of these stores so that they can have the ability to keep these types of products out of their stores.
You know, and the consumer.
I would like to see a section added about compiling the list.
Okay.
That's my personal.
How would you generate generic
children's bracelets, old jewelry, you know, buying them, and the strength would be hard to, not mean the bands are,
I know, but at some point, not that the fines are nominal, but if they're ever keen to that, if somebody wants to challenge it in court and say, well, gee, how can you, you know, we can prove and test it, but you can, they'll always be able to say, well, I didn't know. You know, and they could even be lying, and they did know, but how can you prove it if you don't have the list?
So in Suffolk County, I believe the way that they're addressing that is by having the health inspectors go out and be tested, and when they find problems, they notify their retailer, and they go back to see that they've taken them off the store shelf. So that's where the money that comes in.
Right, so I still would like to see a list, but that makes sense.
So we can, I believe that's how they plan to...
Yeah, it's not the number. You know, they're going to the store.
Thank you, Mary. Bobby, I'm sorry. You had mentioned before that the limits on here under Section 4, the 40 parts per million for mercury, 100 for lead parts per million. You also mentioned the word law several times. Did you mean guidelines, regulations?
For the lead limits in children's toys,
yes.
It is a law. It is written directly into the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act.
That would be federal law.
Any
toy that's sold at Target or any place like that with 101 parts per million would be in violation of federal law?
That's correct.
If it's a toy, you got to be careful because jewelry's not a toy.
There are many
products
that are not within the realm of
toys.
Who
would
close?
But not
daughters.
Most reasonable people would consider, little bead things, a toy that you put together.
I know, but they're not strictly defined as a toy.
Well, again, like the imitation matchbox or Hot Wheels would be considered a toy.
But that problem is that was not lead, it was cadmium, which is not covered.
And there's no law for that?
There are regulations. There are ASTM standards for that.
Can you define that a little bit better?
So there's the ASTM is a non-government body that develops standards for a variety of things. And they have standards for toys, for other heavy metals.
Okay, so we got federal law for mercury and chest lead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other ones are guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to look at why we're this legislation and why folks have been in Albany and Suffolk, and this focus towards like the dollar stores and Target, is because if you're thinking at it from the consumer, it's the idea that consumers are being misled with a false sense of protection when they're buying these new products off the shelf of a major retailer, a trusted retailer like Target. I think one of the most telling things in Bobby's presentation was even some of the false advertising. So I think the fact that in Section 8 we're using the language knowingly and it gives, you know, them the ability to take their product off the shelf in this misrepresentation, I think, you know, it's a very much simpler concept. And I mean, our Department of Health, if you look at it side by side, I would say restaurant inspections. I mean, it's a similar thing. If the restaurant's violating, they're in violation of providing consumers with, you know, an unhealthy product, and the Department of Health sees them in violation, they have time to fix it. But also those restaurants are going to be exempted again. I think actually this idea of 10 and 10, you know, is a much less intrusive and less, in my opinion, would be a much easier inspection process than the basic everyday function of inspecting restaurants and so forth. So I don't think it's, you know, and on top of that, I would think that the Department of Health already has somewhat of a base guidelines for, you know, these procedures. I mean, I can't imagine it would be hard for Dr. Smith to produce a set of guidelines pretty quickly based off the fact that we inspect other businesses frequently here in Ulster County. I actually think this is far less of an invasive process than in some other industries. For very simple, you know, reason that consumers are being misled.
I mean, you have about, like, a kind of education angle for, like, you have, you know, your stores are certified that they're selling toys free of these kind of holes, and, you know, you can create the kind of store card for consumers to know that, you know, you're shopping in a store that is certified to the health department that they're not carrying these products. And maybe take it from that different. I'm just trying to get my arm around kind of the expertise we have put together, the work we're trying to do. I'm just trying to find a way that could make it, like, you know, for example, like, you know, restaurant inspections, right? You know, you can sometimes issue me a post that they provide, you know, letter grades
Are you suggesting passing a law that requires every store to certify their...
No, it'd be a voluntary thing, would that be something attractive to a parent out shopping for toys to know, you know what, I'm going to shop at the store that certifies that...
I think that
would be a byproduct of the law.
Yeah, I would think that could be a companion aspect, but not in absence of the law. I mean,
I have a question, though. I mean, you're talking about invasiveness to the retailer. You do have to take the toy out of the packaging in order to test it, right?
If the packaging covers the toy, yeah.
Yeah, so that is kind of invasive in a way, because the health department is going to go into once a year, going to go into 10 retailers, take 10 items off the shelf and have to open them up and, you know.
It's either a cost of the department or the cost of the retailer, right?
And obviously, if the health department is going to make the rules, I would hope they would, like, inform the retailers 2 weeks before they're going to come in and inspect, let them know that this is going to happen.
I have a question.
So good.
What did you want to do with the price inspection? Those people then...
I don't know. Then you can't rip open the toy boxes and, you know, it's like a... Do you have any idea?
Of course. Light year, you know, drinking these testing machines, how much that
is buying.
Like, whom it is that it rents from, you know, I could go down to the rental center and make a dream and go rent one. I guess somehow I doubt it, but I mean... You know, I was kind of saving that joke. I think came to my mind about 20 minutes ago. But so, do you have any idea, like, you know, where you would rent the machine from, how much the cost would be, and then obviously we're looking. You're talking about doing this once a year, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. So you're looking at, you need 1 or 2 days of testing, or I mean, some of that's contingent upon that. Do you get a 1 day rental or a 1 week rental, or you know, like so what I'm getting at is that way. You know, the one thing that's missing on here is the cost.
Right, because I thought we had the machine.
Okay.
So, yeah, which is also why I'm changing that. Yeah.
Okay.
I got two final questions.
But then I will have next.
But I'm going to piggyback off what Ken was saying. And maybe instead of the law, and I know you're like, but having a sign at every store that sells toys and making a law that's saying, like, you know, 48%, I could be wrong with that number, of toys made in foreign countries may contain lead that is harmful to your children.
But how does that help me as a consumer and a parent? And I'm just being personal.
Tracy, how does picking 100 toys that are sold in Ulster County when probably a million toys are being sold?
Because we've seen, as Bobby testified, over time, what these laws can do. That it's a cumulative effect. That the fear of the regulation promotes change from within and without. You know, the EU parts of law, twofold. We know that certain retailers are making requirements of their vendors. These are Target, which Bobby mentioned. So that's from within. We also know that certain European nations have instituted regulations, and China, for the same vendor, is sending toxic product to us and the non-toxic one to them when they verify. So I feel very strongly that a law like this, and I absolutely hear your comments and concerns and want to work with the health department to be more specific so there's a higher level of comfort coming from this committee. But in terms of if you want it laid out in terms of the enforcement, we'll lay it out in the law. But I feel very strongly that this law is going to affect change. To your point, if we could test a million products, every product, that would be great, but it would probably bankrupt the county and the time of the county, certainly. I've said it jokingly, I think I said it to Carl over the phone, that, you know, if I had this SRS machine in my house, I think it would make me mentally ill, because I think I would spend all day, every day, just testing everything, making myself crazy, pulling my hair out. You know, I'd be going around, I'd be throwing something out, I'd be freaking, I wouldn't know what to, I mean, and where would it stop? That's partially why I'm not on Facebook. You know, it's like, how do you cause your own, how do you limit yourself on something? So you have to start somewhere, and I think, again, you know, I'm picking 10 and 10. If you tell me you want 100 and 100, if you tell me you want me to do it every week, I'll get behind it. But I'm trying to be reasonable, and I'm not locked to the 10-10. I want to sit down with Dr. Smith and Ken and the health department and work on promulgating the rules with them, because we want to see them before we pass them. But I want to do something reasonable.
We'd like to meet and talk about what's possible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because obviously, you know, we don't have $50,000 to buy a machine.
No,
and it's not just there's training that goes through that. I mean, with our unionized employees that currently do lead inspections, we have to, under our laws, we have to test them for radiation, and it's a very complicated process. So.
So with this whole process, trying to figure this out, I mean, I guess, in fact, what I was saying before about like a formula calculating, you know, how many products can you test in so many hours, and then, figure out, okay, it costs this much to rent the machine mm-hmm. for a day, or it costs this much to rent the machine for a week,
yep.
You know, figure out those options. And then calculate a formula. How long does it take to test? You know, obviously certain products, if you, like, let's say, about people are saying, if you're going to rip a product off the shelf and you have to open the package, it's going to take you longer to test that product than the product where there's no packaging,
right?
Or less packaging. So, you know, if you
can... Well, Bobby will be able to work with us.
If you can come to a formula, like, how many products can you test and how many man hours of labor, and then figure out difference of cost between a day and a week, and then figure out what you want to do, you know, based on that, like how much is the county willing to put forth in monetary resource to rent the machines and have employees go out, you know, are they going to test for one day, 2 days, a full week, you know, and then I think, like I said before, to reiterate, I think it's crucial that we compile a list, you know, we don't have to model this law if you're going to do it exactly after Suffolk County, you can add stuff, I mean, because she's based out of Albany, so that we're a lot closer than Suffolk County is, mm-hmm. and you're a very meticulous legislator, so I'm sure the two of you and the state of Aurora could work together, and, you know, people from, you know, County Secretary of Mines office and with Commissioner Smith's office and put them together that's more comprehensive. I think, because otherwise, why pass a law that isn't going to try and result in immediate change and effect on this, and you have to give something that's fair to these consumer retailers and give them, you know, a lot of this language too, saying, you know, knowingly sell products like that. Well, you can't know unless you're given a list, you know, and you can't, you know, if you just test these products and then you're not compiling a list of it and then, you know, cataloging
it. It can't be exclusive to the list. We'll have to work that out.
I know.
It's exclusive to the list because that's only a limited number of products.
We already have a list of people that we like.
No, but I meant a list of a product.
Right, but I don't know how it would do the notice.
I think what's most helpful about the list is to not, I mean, my fast thought on this, we can debate the truth, but my fast thought on this.
Maybe an individual legislator could walk around and hand it out.
The person who, like myself, who sees the product that I know.
Well, it depends on which district you're talking about. Some of us have more of those retailers in our district than others, right?
No disrespect to you or to you, and I think it's a great local law, but I'd like to make a motion to postpone the public hearing until May. Until we can get more answers, who's going to actually make the rules, where it's going to be, because otherwise what's going to happen is...
Can I respectfully ask that you just take no action, and I'll come back to you next month with the changes?
Because
same thing, okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Just take no action, and next month I'll come, and I'll be in contact with the committee in the interim. To get feedback, and to let you know what's going on with the rest of the community, and I have Tim assurance that we can... Mm-hmm. The health department and up there.
So I'll have Suffolk County's
law be the model. Let Ulster County's law be the model, but let's figure out what will work here in Ulster County, you know, because...
You've
got to
do some due diligence.
Yeah. Because right now, people are trying to...
Very good.
Well,
thanks.
I appreciate you coming, and yeah, we're working together to iron out some details.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, we will move on. Resolution 142, approving the execution of contract next to $50,000 for sale of good stuff. For this trust payment, dated support and delivery services, a friend who had received his PIN or JD positions.
Over for discussion.
Second. Any discussion?
No.
Yeah. All right. All favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good contract.
Okay,
sure.
Right? Just a nice bench. All right.
Are you going to lawyers on this?
Resolution 43. Permanent teaching contract that knowledge was taken home for mandated foster care services. $35,108 Discussion.
Discussion. This residential facility is an out of state. Oh, from Westchester?
Good. Any further? All in favor?
Aye.
Where?
Lincoln Town?
He's got a 105 zip code, I would agree.
148. Amending the agency budget to accept funding from the New York State Office of Alcohol Use for a Health Alliance Broadway campus. Move that resolution.
Second.
$366,000 over the next 4 years.
Yeah, this is
this is our renewal of our contract. Mm-hmm. This is the program that previously reported. We have admitted that has led in pain. And we have a sector of them. We're working with some of these providers to identify a home that has led to pain and affected in pain.
Does this also include the marketing for the program?
It's a comprehensive plan that involves education.
Screening, testing, diagnostic evaluation, things that sort of. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Amending the existing budget, appropriating expected funds for the New York State Office of Children's Health Services in the amount of $138,089 for the salary and such benefits of the behavioral clinician for two-year programs.
I believe that this resolution rolls over the two-year grant, we didn't spend all the dollars in the first year, which rolls the dollars over into the second year. We have a clinician on contract that with the
hospital. And that number is benefits included?
This is a contract for
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, we're good.
Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Ken.
Hearing none.
I make motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Well, can I get my name put on the,
I think
I've been here one meeting, they omit my name.